All right. And finally, this week, the publishing industry bestowed upon America a collection of the best American essays of 2013. I'm thrilled to say that one of the essayists included in this collection is one of the Paper Machete staff writers, and she's here with us today to tell us about what really makes an essay. Won't you welcome my friend Megan Steelstra, everybody?
In the introductory paragraph to this essay about essays, I will tell you that you do not need an introductory paragraph. At least not of the one topic sentence, two structural methodology, three thesis statement variety that we were all taught in high school. What you do need is that thing. Maybe it's a question, a fear, or a fury. The thing that makes your blood boil. It is all that you can talk about when you sit down with your friends over a glass of wine, or two, or five. Or maybe you can't talk about it with anybody. Just your own heart, along with the impossible architecture of words. As Cheryl Strayed wrote in her introduction to the Best American Essays 2013, behind every good essay is an author with a savage desire to know more about what is already known. I want to know more about essays. I don't have a topic sentence or a thesis statement. I just have this savage desire. In the first body paragraph of this essay about essays, I will talk about how the writing of essays is currently taught. Five paragraphs, introductory paragraph, three body paragraphs, conclusion. Sound familiar? I'd wager we all had to learn this. And yes, I think it's vital that we all know how to organize our thoughts and back up an argument. However, the assumption that there is only this one way to do it is increasingly problematic, especially in light of this country's current culture of the test. We're not teaching writing as a way to follow your own passion and curiosity and then share that passion and curiosity with others. We are teaching it as the way to get a grade. This past Saturday, several thousand high school students across the U.S. and in 170 other countries sat for the 3 hours and 45 minutes required to take the SATs. 25 of those minutes were spent writing an essay, which is then graded on a scale of 1 to 6 by two independent readers who, according to the College Board website, score in a, quote, holistic manner, taking into account complexity of thought, substantiality of development, and facility with language. Which is really fascinating, because these independent readers are expected to grade a minimum of 20 essays per hour. And they get a bonus if they hit 30. So let's bring on the math, shall we? 30 essays in 1 hour means 2 minutes per essay. 2 minutes in which to judge one's complexity of thought, substantiality of development, and facility with language. A judgment which very well may determine whether or not somebody can actually even go to college, let alone which college, or the potential financial aid that they may receive. The stakes in this couldn't be higher. And to meet them, we are all taught to the test, both by classroom teachers and testing teachers, because FYI, specialized teachers who train us in how to ace a test are a thing. When I was in high school, and this was Michigan Public School in 1993, long ago, yes, but we are not talking Laura Ingalls Wilder one-room schoolhouse shit. I had a teacher who would stand in front of the classroom banging a ruler on the table, and the 30 of us in unison would recite vocabulary words. Irony, a statement or event in which the opposite is said or the unexpected happens, and multiply that times 300 other words which we'd be tested on. And yes, fine, to this day, I can still recite the definition of irony. But it wasn't until years later when I walked in on my boyfriend getting down with my roommate that I really understood what that meant. Recitation is not learning. And tens and thousands of teenagers pulling 5 speed-written and panic-driven paragraphs out of their asses that will be read in 2 minutes by someone who can make or break their entire fucking future is no way to teach something as awesome and thoughtful and badass as the essay. I love the essay. I love writing them and reading them and learning from them and teaching them. And dear American fucking education system, please stop fucking with the essay. Please stop teaching us to fear it, to speed through it, to bullshit through it. And while I'm yelling, let me be really loud and clear on this next part. I am talking to the system and not to its teachers. A recent article at Salon, appropriately titled, "We Are Teaching High School Students to Write Terribly," tells us that high school teachers today have to, quote, make a choice between teaching writing methods that will be rewarded by the SATs and therefore sending worse writers into the world, or training pupils to write well at the risk of parent complaints. It costs teachers to be principled. They have to choose between possible promotions or possible raises. We are giving them negative incentives. Now, I teach writing at the college level. At the beginning of every semester, I write the word essay on the board in big letters and ask my students to share their perceptions. Boring comes up often. So does excruciating and waste of time. And sometimes they just have sounds. Ugh, gah, grr. But the one that really got me, the one that made me want to light shit on fire and also maybe weep, is a couple of months ago when the new semester started, a student of mine said, essays are terrifying. I asked her why. Because you have to be totally, completely certain about everything, she said. I'm 18. I'm not certain about anything. I tried to explain, as I always do, that an essay does not have to be definitive. It's a place where we examine an idea, a place where we try, where we follow our curiosity as a way to discovery. As E.M. Forster wrote, I don't know what I think until I see what I say. That's crazy, said my student. Nobody can pull that off in just 5 paragraphs. In the second body paragraph of this essay about essays, I will talk about reading essays. I just read an essay by Roxane Gay that challenged me to read more diversely. I read one by Annie Dillard that inspired me to grab life by the balls. There's one by K.S. Lehmann that made me dive back into an ongoing discussion I keep having with myself about my own privilege. There's one by Dorothy Allison that makes me realize how who I am connects with where I am. One by Sherman Alexie called Why the Best Books Are Written in Blood reminds me of how a story can save us. There's one by James Baldwin that reminds me over and over of how writing is a part of the healing process. There's one by Lindy West called Hello, I Am Fat that makes me feel less alone in this world. There's a whole book of essays by Samantha Irby that make me feel less alone. There's one by Cheryl Strayed that gives me the permission to not have an acceptable credit score in this life. And there's one by Kafka, hidden deep in his diaries, and I doubt he ever would have called it an essay, but I like thinking of the writer's journals as 100 little tiny essays, 100 little tiny thoughts, one huge messy place to make discoveries about yourself and the world. And the first sentence reads like this. When I think about it, I realize that my education has done me a great harm. And then he talks about that idea for a paragraph. And then there's a space break, and then he says, when I really, really think about it, I realize that my education has done me great harm. And then he talks about it from a different angle. And then there's a space break. And then he goes on again and again, 9 different times, looking at this from different angles every time. And this beautiful, simple structure is something I have ripped off again and again, both in my own essays and in my own journal, as I try to slow down and figure out what I really think. Right now, in this life, with its speed and its media, with my jobs and my kid, with every fucking day a challenge and a profound joy, writing is the only thing that slows me down, the only space I have to sit quietly and shh. This structure of Kafka's piece gives me the space to do that. It gives me method to my madness beyond 5 paragraphs. All those essays I just mentioned, and any of them that you allow yourself to read and be inspired by and educated by and challenged by, can give you a roadmap of how to write your own and how to join in this huge dialogue about what it means to be human. In the third body paragraph of this essay about essays, I will talk about how to write them. Go read them. In the final paragraph of this essay about essays... In the final paragraph of this essay about essays, my conclusion will be, what the fuck? I don't know. In 2008, a few months after my son was born, I wrote the words, I think I need help, in my journal. I was scared that I might hurt him. I didn't know that there was a name for what I was feeling, that postpartum depression was a thing. And it would take 3 more years for me to be able to look at those words, I need help, without crying. When I sat down to write the piece that would eventually be selected for the Best American Essays, there was one single question pulling me. How do I talk about depression in a way that's not depressing? I felt that pull through my entire body. It made my blood boil. It was all I could talk about when I sat down with my friends. In Letters to a Young Poet, Rilke writes that a work of art is good if it has sprung from necessity. An essay is good if it has sprung from necessity. Imagine if we were allowed to teach it that way.